Itutuloy po natin yung ating pong pag-aaral sa aklat po ng Hebreo or Hebrews. For sure po, hindi po natin matatapos yung chapter 1, even today at sa next Sunday. At tingnan natin hanggang saan po tayo dadali ng Panginoon sa pag-aaral po natin sa Hebrews. And last time, we have already tackled about the supremacy of the Son as the anointed Christ or Son of God. In having established in Hebrews chapter 1, verse 1 to 3, that the glory of God or the glory of Christ, the author of Hebrews then made his case that Christ is supreme above all things. He is supreme above the angels, above Moses, above Aaron, and even the covenant itself. And today, mga kapatid, titignan po natin Hebrews chapter 1, verse 4 until 14. And in this passage, the author of the Hebrews made his case that Christ is supreme above the angels. He's supreme above the angels. Actually po, in verse 4, let us read verse 4. It says, having become as much better than the angels, here is the introductory or the bridge where the author transitioned from the very glory of God into his specifics. Napakaluwalhati ng Panginoon at nagbigay po siya, nagtransition po siya sa isa pong aspeto ng kalulatian ng ating Panginoong Hesus kumpara sa mga anghel. How? He has inherited a more excellent name than they. Christ is better than angels. And so the question now is this, why would the writer of Hebrews spend so much time defending the superiority of Christ over the angels? Bakit inuna po nung pong author po that Christ is supreme above the angels? What was in the mind of his audience that they would revert to relegating Christ in an inferior position, even below angels? Brethren, listen to me. First of all, the angels are created supernatural beings. They are created. That means they are part of the creation. They exist for a purpose. And God, who is their creator, summons them according to his will and intention. So they are not independent on themselves. They are dependent upon God who created them. Likewise, angels are also spiritual beings. Sometimes they embody a form like that of us. Remember when the Lord is about to judge Sodom and Gomorrah, there were three angels appeared as men. So they can embody a form like that of a man, but in reality, they don't have bodies made up of flesh and bones because they are spirit beings. Now, in the Bible, in our Bible, angels are messengers. The Hebrew word malak or the Greek word angelos, it basically means messengers, tagapagbalita. And they function as ministers of God, again, to fulfill divine purposes. For example, when the Lord summoned the angel Gabriel to what? To give the message that the Messiah will come. First, no, walang iba kundi kay Zechariah, and then to Mary and even to Joseph. So they function as messengers of God. And sometimes they bring forth messages or oracles of God by way of a blessing. Gabriel giving the good news. And sometimes also it's about judgment. Judgment. And here, brethren, in the book of Colossians, Paul addressed the issue of angel worship. Okay? In Colossians chapter 2, verse 18, Paul warns the people of God, believers, against asceticism and, quote, the worship of angels. So apparently, angelolatry, yan po yung termino, or the worship of angels, was so rampant in Colossae that Paul needed to address such activity. They believe kasi that angels brought visions which are directly influenced their ascetic life. At that time, because of this, angels were revered, no? Because angels claim to have been deliverers of special knowledge and revelations. So, sa aklat po ng Kolose, minaringan po ni Pablo, ito po mamananampalataya na ito, do not put on in a higher position, the angels in a higher position, kasi nga, ang pananaw nila, sila yung mga tagapagdala ng bagong revelasyon. Maging influensya, mag-influensya sa ascetic life nila. You know that asceticism, no, actually came from the Gnostic life where revelations and knowledge are foremost sa kanila. Kung wala kang revelation, then hindi mataas ang grado mo pagdating sa spiritual life mo kay God. So sa pananaw nila, ang mga anghel na nadadala po ng mga revelations na yon, pinapahalagan po nila ang mga anghel to the point that they are already worshiping those angels, those deliverers, those quote-unquote mediators. So, here in our passage in Acts chapter 1, Hebrews chapter 1, verse 4 to 14, it might appear that the writer of the Hebrews needed to reinforce the main idea of God speaking to us through His Son. Okay, in Hebrews chapter 4, by mentioning that the Son is superior than angels, the author actually was reinforcing the idea that God has already spoken to us in finality and with authority through His Son. Kasi nga, ang pananaw nila, deliveries to mga anghel na ito, hindi na pwede, wala nang pangdagdag. Bakit? Pinal na yung ginawa ni Kristo sa atin. Siya ang talagang spokesperson ng Diyos na. The final spokesperson of God. Because in Jewish mind, brethren, angels were the agents of bringing the law to them. That's how they respect angels. In the Jewish mind, ang mga anghel, sila po yung nagdala ng batas. If you want to look at Acts 7 verse 53. Sige po, Acts chapter 7 verse 53. Here in Acts chapter 7, this is the sermon of Stephen, and he confirmed that angels were mediators when God, through them, delivered the law to the people Israel. Sabi po, you who receive the law as ordained by angels. And so in the Jewish mind, angels were revered as deliverers. Angels were intermediaries, acting out as mediators between God and His people Israel. Particularly po with the giving of the law. It is also confirmed by Paul in Galatians chapter 3 verse 19. And so, the writer of Hebrews, listen to this, because this is the rationale why the author of Hebrews put some emphasis on the supremacy of Christ over angels because of this perspective by the Jewish people. And so the writer of Hebrews wanted to give reason that Christ is really the better mediator as God's spokesperson because Christ is supreme. And this is to say, brethren, that the Jewish Christians do not need to drift from the faith because the true messenger has spoken already to them. So sa tingin ho nila, huwag na kayong bumalik sa Judaism. Actually, kasi nga, ang nire-refer po actually na mga anghel na siyang nirerespeto nila tungkol sa pagdala ng batas ay natupad na kay Kristo. Bakit ka babalik kung nandyan na ang pinaka-katuparan nung sinasabi sa Old Testament? Basically, that is the rationale. They don't need any angelic revelations and knowledge because God, through His Son, has already revealed the very glory of God. It was once delivered to us, 1 Corinthians chapter 15, through His Son. Christ's revelation is divine, final, and authoritative. And so, the need to address this issue is very important to the Jewish perspective. And so, again, so that the main theme of the whole book, Christ has spoken to us His Son, will be affirmed. So, hindi po tayo lumalayo po doon sa proposition nito pong aklat po na ito. God has spoken to us in finality and with authority through His Son. We do not need any angelic or whatever spirit revelation or knowledge. We have already enough from the Son, from Christ. Hindi na ho natin kailangan. And so, brethren, in our passage, we can see three reasons why Jesus is supreme or better than angels. And actually, it is divided by three words of questions by the author. First of all, brethren, why Jesus is supreme? Because Jesus is the Son of God. That is in verse 5 to 6. Sabi niya, for to which of the angels did he ever say? That's the first reason. The second reason, brethren, is found in verse 7 to 12. And that is, Jesus is sovereign. Again, in verse 7, it tells us, or it asks, and of the angels, he says. And lastly, why Jesus is sovereign over angels, because Jesus has servants. Son, sovereign, and servants. So today, we will look at the first reason, Jesus is the Son of God. And before we look at this passage po, if you observe, there are 7 Old Testament quotations mentioned by the author. And with this, I wrestle, mga kapatid. I really wrestle with this passage because the book itself is not a letter, but a sermon. And somehow, there's distinction between giving a letter and giving a sermon. And inside that letter or inside the book, you have to wrestle with some Old Testament poetry. At the same time, also some prophecies. And so God, or the author, quoted Old Testament words or passages. And by doing so, brethren, the writer recognized the authority of the Word of God and the unity of the Scriptures. Listen to this, brethren. It is like saying that the writer, he's saying that if you go back to the Old Covenant, it would be improper and somehow folly because the Old Testament itself will point you back to Christ. And that is the purpose nga, di ba, kung bakit binigay po itong letter po na ito. Huwag na kayong bumalik. Kasi pagbabalik ka sa Old Testament word, iba, yung mga Old Testament prophecies, iba, balik ka rin kay Kristo. You go in circles. That's why every time there's a doctrine, palagi sinasabi ng author, do not thief back. Do not go back to Judaism, to the Old Covenant. Because the Old Covenant actually will point back you to Christ. Oh, balik ka rin. So that's the actually one reason why he quoted so many Old Testament passages in this section. And again, brethren, please bear with me. Such idea affirm what was previously mentioned in the introduction part of this book. By quoting Old Testament passages, 7 Old Testament passages, again in verse 1, the author unified that thought. God long ago has spoken to our fathers, the Old Testament, but now he has spoken to us through his Son. He united both the Old Covenant and the New Covenant, and both find its fulfillment in Christ. They have one message. They have one message about the Son of God. So, brethren, let us now look at the first reason. Still with me? Okay, praise God po. Medyo sumasabit na po yung aking boses. Okay, so the first reason why Jesus is superior than angels is this. Jesus is the Son of God. It talks about the deity of Jesus. If you wanted to put it in a W acronym, worth, works, and workers. Jesus is the Son of God. You see, brethren, Jesus has this special relationship with the Father as the divine Son of God. And angels do not have that unique relationship. Okay? Do not have that unique relationship. Let us now read Hebrews chapter 1, verse 5 to 6. For to which of the angels did he ever say, you are my son, today I have begotten you. And again, I will be a father to him, and he shall be a son to me. Verse 6, and when he again brings the firstborn into the world, he says, and let all the angels of God worship him. Let all the angels of God worship him. And this first reason, there are 3 quotations in the Old Testament. Let us first look at the in verse 5, first quotation. Sabi niya, for to which of the angels did he ever say, you are my son, today I have fathered you. Brethren, I believe that our first point, this first point, Jesus is divine, He is the Son of God, is the main reason why Jesus is supreme than the ministering angels. Ito pa lang pong unang rason na ito, tapos na. Okay? The author actually made a rhetorical query to confirm and attest that unique position of the Son to the Father. Sabi nga po, or to which the angel did he ever say, you are my son? Tanong ho yan, alam po natin ang sagot. Of course, the answer is no. Angels in the biblical account do not have this kind of special relationship with God. And it affirmed, you are my son, I will be a father to him, and he will be a son to me. Brethren, you are my son, today I have fathered you. That phrase was drawn from Psalm 2, verse 7. It was drawn in Psalm chapter 2, verse 7. And if you look at your Bibles, this psalm is written by David to speak of the reign and kingdom of God through his anointed one. Okay? And the words were lifted out from a messianic psalm. When we say messianic psalm, it refers to a psalm that speaks about the character and the reign of Christ, the anointed one. It is a prophetic psalm because it talks about the Son, the anointed Christ. And if you further study this verse in its context, please listen to this. It tells us about the special place or prominence this anointed Son of God in relation to the salvation program of God and also His eternal kingdom. No, mapapansin po ninyo na malapit, hindi lang malapit, talagang sobrang united, nagkaisa ang Ama at ang Anak pagdating sa programa ng kaligtasan at sa kanila pong pamamahala, their eternal reign. It conveys this psalm, the idea that all sovereign works of God finds its conclusion in the Son. Okay? And again, hindi ulit nagkakalayo doon sa previous passage in Hebrews chapter 1, verse 1 to 3. Why? Why that this idea of sovereign work of God finds its conclusion in the Son? Because again, we affirm as believers, as Christians, that Jesus, the Son, is His divine heir and the only appointed agent of all divine actions and works. Okay? Now, one thing that bothers us dito po sa passage na ito, and that word is the word begotten. Di ba? And marami mo mga kulto, oh, tingnan nyo, begotten siya. Ha? Begotten siya. Hindi siya, oh, kinreate lang siya. Yun bang ibig sabihin po ng salitang begotten? In my brethren, when the Lord has given me opportunity to preach this to you dito po ngayon, and when I study this, I really wrestle with God with this because this is one of the controversial words in the Bible, controversial in our perspective, but in God, hindi. So, begotten. It is the same word also rendered as fathered. Sabi nga po na ibang translation, you are my son, today I have begotten you or I have fathered you if you're using the New American Standard Bible. So the question there is this, does the word begotten mean that the Son of God, Jesus Christ, is only made or created? Does that mean Jesus is created, not creator? Does this word mean that the Son is like the angels in a subordinated inferior status? Which, by the way, one of the major cults, they believe that Jesus is not divine, but He is equivalent to Archangel Michael. Magkapatid sila. So yun pa lamang po, doon pa lamang po sa ganong klaseng pananaw, makikita natin na mali because of the passage in Hebrews. He is supreme. Even than Michael. And so, does that word mean that the Son is in a subordinate inferior? And so, why use the word begotten, not made? Why begotten, not made? Are you ready? Diyan ho ba kayo? This is a very theological po in terms of looking at the words. So I hope and pray that you will not doze around po at buti na lang, di ako pastor. No, mga kapatid. Mananampalata po tayo. We need to study this. First of all, again, listen to this. Both begotten and made can speak of origin. Okay? Begotten and made or created can speak of origin. When we say begotten, it tells us of being related to. Begotten has the idea of being procreated. Okay? What I got from my parents is the same DNA or substance. And so when the Bible used the word begotten, begotten can also mean having one being or one substance, one essence. Hindi po ako nagkaroon ng anak na robot. Sam is made of flesh and blood or bone and flesh. Sabi nga nila, flesh and bone. Galing din po, pares kami ng composition. Same essence, same substance. On the other hand, being made speaks of the quality or feature to which a thing or person is drawn. The thing created or made may not be necessarily the same in substance and form from the one who made it. For example, kung ako po ay karpintero, pag gumawa ako ng isang bagay, hindi po siya katulad po ko po. Maaring pag ako ay kung ako ay isang potter, naglilok po ako ng clay, mukha ko, maaring mukha ko siya pero hindi po siya kapareho sa akin. That's the difference between begotten and being made or created. Well, the question now is this. Listen to this. Why would God, who is the author of the Bible, use the word begotten rather than the word created to speak of the Son? Again, the question is, why was the idea similar? Of course, no, because the emphasis of the two are different. The word begotten in the biblical account focuses on the intimate role and relationship of two entities, Father and Son. While the word created focuses on the active involvement on the party to form or fabricate something. And by the way, the word begotten and created are two different Greek terms. And so talagang deliberate ang Panginoon that the Bible, the author of the Bible, used the word begotten rather than the word made, which is basically, it literally means to fabricate. The Son is not a fabrication. He is not a product. He is in one essence with God. He is in one essence with God. The word begotten focuses on the intimate role and relationship. And so the writer of the Hebrews intentionally chose what was mentioned in Psalm 2, which says that the anointed Messiah is begotten, not made, to emphasize the idea of relationship. The Son of God has already been there even before the time began. That's why He is not created. He have a special bond and unique unity with the Godhead. At the same time, brethren, at the same time, another reason why Jesus was not created, He is begotten, focusing on the relationship between the Father and the Son, not created, not made, because the Bible also clearly teaches that He has no beginning. John chapter 1, verse 1, in the beginning. And again, the Bible, the book of John was written so that we may believe that Jesus is the Son of God. And so, hindi po nag-umpisa sa genealogy ng Panginoon kay Abraham, ni hindi kay Adan. In the beginning, before the time began, the Word was there, the Word was God. Jesus has no beginning, thus, He is not created. To say that the Anointed One, the Messiah, is created is to say that He has been inaugurated at the point of human history. He is created means that He has beginning. But again, the word used there is begotten. Why? Because it is the word used not only to refer to Jesus' close relationship with God the Father, but also to remove any idea that Jesus has a beginning. So intentional po ang pagkalagay po ng salitang begotten, hindi lang pinapakita ang relasyon ni Kristo sa Diyos Ama, but also para mawala yung ideya na kaisipan ho ng mga marami po mga Hudyo na si Kristo ay created lamang katulad ng anghel. Inaalis ho yung ideya na wala ho siyang umpisa. He has no beginning because He is God. And so, the Nicene Creed nailed it beautifully that the Son of God is begotten, not made. Again, it speaks about the special relationship with the Father and to dispatch the idea that Jesus has beginning because He was just a created being. Hindi po. The Bible says that Jesus is the Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. May beginning. Hindi po. Ang ibig lang sabihin mo niyan, He has no beginning and He has no ending. Amen? Also, brethren, to attest this truth, para lang maging maliwanag po ito, we look at John chapter 3, verse 16. To say that Jesus is the Son of God, the eternal Son of God. He is not made, He is begotten. Also, in how the book of John worded this word begotten, sabi po ng John 3:16, for God so loved the world that He gave not only us begotten, but His only begotten Son. That only highlights that special relationship Jesus have with the Father in essence and in nature. Literally, that word only begotten, monogenes, it means one of a kind. And when the Bible speaks about Christ being the only begotten Son of God, it speaks about the deity of Christ. Jesus indeed is the Son of God. That's why in John chapter 5, verse 18, when Jesus leveled Himself with God, the Jews is about to kill Him because they understood the language of that word begotten, which is actually in Psalm 2. Okay? Nakuha niyo mga kapatid? Kaya nung ni-refer ng Panginoon Jesus siya as the only begotten Son, ipapatayin talaga siya. Bakit? Kasi nililevel niya ang kanyang sarili bilang Diyos. Dahil naiintindihan sa kaisipan ng Hudyo na yung salitang begotten ay applicable lang yan sa Diyos at sa kanya pong pinili ang Mesiyas. Amen? Still with me, mga kapatid? Sabi nga po ng, just to reiterate this position, the Biblical Doctrine, a book, it tells us when regards to the relationship with the Trinity, by calling the first person of the Trinity Father, Scripture intends to attribute the personal property of fatherhood to Him with respect to the Son. And by calling Him the second person of the Trinity, the Son, the Bible intends to attribute the personal property of Christ as one begotten from God, one in essence, one in nature, different in terms of personalities. That's why we believe in the triune God, one God but in three persons. One God in three persons. There's only one Father, not three fathers. There's one Son, not three sons. There's one Holy Ghost, not three Holy Ghosts. There's Father, there's Son, and the Spirit. Again, this is something that beyond us, amen? This is beyond us. And yet, God revealed this truth to us through His Word. And whatever God has given to us, we respond in faith. But here, brethren, it is so obvious that Jesus, quoting the Psalm 2, the Messianic Psalm, referring to Himself, claiming Himself as the eternal Son of God, superior than angels. Go back to Hebrews chapter 1, verse 5. You are my Son, today I have begotten you. You are my Son, today I have begotten you. Another problem in this verse that we are studying is that word today. Again, if we say that Jesus has no beginning, why there's that word today? Okay? If we say that Jesus has no beginning and end, then what is this word today implies? That this does this mean that Jesus has a beginning when the Father begot him as the Son? Or was the word refers to another thing? And again, brethren, please hang with me. This then we need again to go back to Psalm 2. Because ni-refer ito ng Panginoon. Psalm 2 is God presenting His anointed. Sige po, tingnan po natin yung mga Bibles po natin in Psalm 2. In this psalm, again, the Lord, the God presenting the anointed, His anointed, the Messiah. And as He is presenting the Messiah, the purpose is this in verse 12, so that those who take refuge in Him will be blessed. Di po ba? Nakita nyo? God is presenting the Messiah so that people will believe in Him and that they will be blessed as they take refuge in Him. And listen to this. The idea that the Messiah is divine and eternal is fully understood by the Jewish mind. Okay? The idea that the Messiah is divine is understandable. It is automatic sa kaisipan ho ng mga Hudyo. So, that is not the issue here without word today. That word today, it does not in any way refer to the birth or the creation of the Messiah. Actually, if you look at that psalm, the issue behind that today, the word today there, is the urgency that God will judge this nation if today you will not put your trust in the Son. So it means that the word today does not in any way attack the divinity of the Son. Kasi nga, automatic na sa Jewish mind yun eh. Alam nila that the Son, the Messiah, is divine. So that word today, it does not in any way give us an implication that the anointed has a beginning, he is created, hindi po. But actually, it gives us a time frame of man's response to Him. So ang benepisyo po ng today, hindi po sa Panginoon, kundi tayo in our own timeline. That today there actually call the people to put their trust in this anointed Son of God. Because today, if you will not obey His voice, God will judge you. That's why David put these words to call the nations to ally with this king. Look at verse 10. Sabi niya doon, take warning. Look at, sabi niya po ng verse 11, worship the Lord. Do homage to the Son, unless He be angry at you, and you will perish. Today, He is already presenting the anointed, and if you will not respond in faith, then God will judge you. God will put you in condemnation. But today, if you believe in Him, then you will be blessed because you take refuge in Him. And you know, mga kapatid, that today, kinuha rin po yan nang nagsulat po ng Hebrews, and he applied that, he interpreted that it was affirmed by the author of the Hebrews that today does not mean beginning, but actually it speaks of urgent appeal. If you look at Hebrews chapter 3, verse 7 to 14. In verse 7, sabi nga po doon, today if you hear His voice, do not harden your heart. So today there is not so much with giving us time, but giving us the urgency, the call to respond. Amen? And so, many scholars believe that the word today does not diminish the deity of Christ. On the contrary, it affirms. Paul used that same psalm in Acts chapter 13 to affirm that Jesus indeed is the unique Son of God. And when God presented Him as the risen and glorious Christ, sabi nga po ng Biblia, today I have begotten you. You are my Son. I have fathered you. I will be your father. You will be my Son. Psalm 2. But then, studying this, at the end of the day, again, this is beyond to fully comprehend. Amen? Minsan, hirap. Ano kaya yun? That's why the Bible calls it a mystery. Spurgeon, I like what Spurgeon said, giving some comments about Hebrews chapter 1, speaking about the deity of Christ and the triune God. Spurgeon said, this is a term, begotten, firstborn, first fruit. This is a term that sometimes it does not convey to us any greater meaning. It has a meaning, but sometimes it has no greater impact sa atin in terms of comprehension. Of course, in our salvation, it has a big impact. But in terms of our limited mind, minsan mahirap. Sabi niya, it simply covers up our ignorance. And so your response is, praise God. God is so wise and God is so powerful, it humbles us. It humbles us. But then again, it should not excuse us to understand what God allows us to see through His Word. Amen? And so that is the Psalm 2 quoted by the author of the Hebrews. Today, I have begotten you. I have fathered you. No. I will be a father to him and he shall be a son to me. Again, that's the second quotation from the Old Testament taken from 2 Samuel chapter 7, verse 14. Go back to Hebrews chapter 1, verse 5. And again, I will be a father to him and he shall be a son to me. And this statement further explains the central theme of this section. It talks about the essential oneness of God the Father and God the Son. Basically, that term, I will be a father to him and he shall be a son to me, these are parallel statements that convey the same idea, gives us the same meaning. And that meaning is that God the Father has a one and close relationship with God the Son. Their relationship is so sucked up that kind of oneness manifests in every aspect of their divinity and works. No, paano ho nangyari po yun, yung kanilang pagiging isa? Read Ephesians chapter 1. That the God, the Father, God, the Son, and God, the Holy Spirit, they're so involved with regards to our salvation. They are so sucked up, they are so united that every aspect of their divinity and works is manifested in this triune Godhead and works. But then God is sovereign and the Son is sovereign. God created, Son also created. God saved and also the Son saved. God is one. This passage, brethren, in Hebrews chapter 1 verse 5 tells us about the personality of the Godhead. There's a person of God the Father and person of God the Son. They are co-equal, but they have distinct identities as to their relationships. And so as believers, as Christians, we believe in what we call the doctrine of the triune God. Amen? And so, brethren, Jesus is supreme than the angels because he has a unique relationship with God. He is God. He is the anointed Son of God. He is the Messiah, quoted, prophesied in Psalm 2 by the Old Testament prophets. Also, in verse 6, look at verse 6, Hebrews chapter 1, verse 6. And when he again brings the firstborn into the world, he says, and let all the angels of God worship him. Another also point that made this clear that Jesus is the Son of God is because Jesus is the object of worship. Angels worship him. Isa rin pong dahilan kung bakit mataas ang Panginoong Jesus kaysa sa mga anghel, dahil mismo mga anghel sumasamba sa Panginoong Jesus. Again, this quotation were drawn from Deuteronomy chapter 32 verse 43 and in Psalm 97 verse 7. And if you look at your Bibles, brethren, in Deuteronomy chapter 32 verse 43, somehow parang may difference, may pagkakaiba. Because the translations that was quoted by the book of Hebrews came from what we call the Septuagint. Itong Septuagint or the LXX, ito po yung Greek translation po ng Old Testament. And so, nung kinuha po, nung nagsulat po ng author, yung translation po ng Deuteronomy chapter 32 at ginamit po niya dito sa Hebrews, parang may pagkakaiba. For example, in Psalm 97, ginamit po niya doon, the gods worship him. But here, it was translated as the angels worship him. Ano ba talaga? But again, pareha lang po ang meaning, but nagkaiba ho sa translations because nga, yung pong author ng Hebrews, ginamit po as source sa Old Testament quotation po niya, yung LAX, yung Septuagint at that time. So, do not be bothered with differences with this, but actually, these slight differences will not affect the meaning. It will give us the same interpretation that the angels worship him. And so, if you look at the verse, again, in verse 6, the Lord is referred to as the firstborn. Again, problematic na naman. Firstborn, that means kasama siya sa mga nalikha. May rangko, ika nga. This question here is this. The question is this. Does that mean, again, that Jesus is one of the created, not as the creator? That this word give us the idea that he is among the children of God, but not God himself. You see, in the Bible, when we say firstborn, it gives us so many references to convey the basic idea of prominence, supremacy, priority, preeminence, or uniqueness. So when the Bible tells us that Jesus is firstborn, firstborn doesn't necessarily mean ranks or position. But actually, it means uniqueness, prominence, priority. In the Old Testament, brethren, firstborn means that being the heir, being panganay, you get the double portion of the inheritance. You are the priority. Ikaw ang sob, ikaw ang importante. Being the firstborn also speaks of bearing the name of the family. And all the blessings and all the shame connected with the family, the firstborn will bear. Kaya noong unang panahon, sa kultura po ng mga Hudyo, kapag ikaw ay panganay, kung ang pagpapala ng Panginoon sa pamilya ay maganda, o ang pangalan ninyo maganda, then makukuha mo yan. But if your family bears a shame, hindi mawawala sa iyo yun dahil ikaw ang kakarga nun. And this is what happened to Adam, di po ba? Adam, what? He is the firstborn of all sinners. And by extension to Cain, Lord, it is unbearable for me to have this judgment. Sobrang tindi na ito. Because you are the firstborn and you have killed your brother, then matindi ang parusa sa'yo ng Panginoon. At the same time also, when we say firstborn in the Old Testament, the firstborn possesses a special privileges no other family members can enjoy. We all know the fact that Jacob, what? Robbed the birthright of Esau. Dahil lang sa sabaw, di niya na-realize ganun katindi yung pagkapala na yon. Yes, the blessing of the birthright. And the law prohibits this inheritance of the firstborn, kahit ano ho ang kanya pong ugali o kahit ganyan pa siya. The law prohibits this inheritance. Mayroon at mayroon sa kanya. Double nga eh. And also, brethren, if you look at the Bible, especially in the Old Testament, such worse kind of judgment to a family or a nation if their firstborn will be killed or eliminated. For example po, yung nangyari po sa Egypt. Such shame, such judgment God has poured against the Egyptians by way of eliminating the hope of any what? Yung favor, any inheritance. He killed the firstborn. Kung ano man ang judgment na talagang mararamdaman nila, yung mamatay ang mga panganay. Dahil nga ang taas ng tingin nila sa mga panganay, firstborn, sa kultura nila at that time. God fully unleashed wrath and judgment against the hard-headed Egypt by not only killing the firstborn, actually, but also removing any hope of a nation. Ganun ho ka taas ang regard po sa firstborn. And you know this, di po ba, in our series sa 1 Samuel, sa turo ko ni Pastor Robbie, now, the Jews value the arrival of a male firstborn than having many women children, di ba? Ang taas ng regard po kapag kalalaki na, firstborn pa. Iba ang dating po sa pamilya. Because firstborn stands up as the very head of the family. He is the prominent character in the domestic life, not only by the Jews, even us, sa kultura po natin. O panganay ka, ikaw ang mag-aalaga sa pamilya, ikaw ang kukuha ng pangalan natin. Di ba? May mga ganun pong kultura pa rin hanggang ngayon. And now listen to this. When applied to the Messiah, it does not mean order of status, but it means exclusive and special relationship. Okay? Ulitin ko po. When applied to the Messiah, it does not mean order of status, but it means exclusive and special relationship. Whenever the words firstborn or begotten or first fruit were applied to the Messiah, it does not mean time. It does not mean time. It means prominence, superiority, and deity. For example po, open your Bibles, Genesis 49 verse 3. Kilala ho ba natin kung sino ang panganay po ni Israel? Ni Jacob? Ha? Si Reuben, di po ba? Verse 3. Reuben, you are my what? My firstborn. You are my might. The beginning of my strength. And this is the definition of the firstborn in their culture. You are preeminent in dignity and preeminent in power. So it does not speak in regards to time or order. It speaks of prominence and preeminence, priority, supremacy, exclusivity, uniqueness. Amen? And so Jesus is prominent in all creation because He is perfect. If you look at Colossians chapter 1, Jesus is preeminent in the church because He is the head of the church. Jesus' resurrection is special, being the first fruit among the dead. Again, that's the word, first fruit. Because of the condition of His resurrection is perfect and unique. He laid down His own life perfectly and He rose from the dead. Doesn't mean na siya ang una na na-resurrect. Hindi, di po ba? May dalawa nga po siyang na-resurrect eh. Di ba? No, si Lazarus, na-resurrect po siya. Kung timing ang pinag-usapan with regards to first fruit of the resurrection, then ibig sabihin yan, nagsinungaling si Jesus na siya ang first fruit among the dead. And even po, nung namatay po siya sa cross, marami mga Old Testament saints na-resurrect. So the first fruit or the firstborn or the begotten, it does not necessarily mean timing or order or of status. But it does mean uniqueness, prominence, preeminence. Amen? And go back again in Hebrews chapter 1. Let us wrap up this first point. Jesus is supreme above the angels, not only because of His relationship with God the Father, not only because He is prominent, but angels themselves worship Him. Verse 6. Sabi doon, and let all the angels of God worship Him. Let all the angels of God worship Him. There is no more crystal clear than to know that the angels themselves were commanded and summoned to worship the Son. You see, brethren, in Jewish mind, to worship another god is blasphemy. Di po ba? This is already, kumbaga, alam po natin. If you worship another god, that is blasphemy. And you will be stoned for that. You will deserve one of the brutal crimes, deserving of stoning to death, because you have exchanged the glory of God to another. And that is blasphemy. That is idolatry. To say then that Jesus is not a God is a misquote and a misread by the author of the Hebrews on Psalm 89 verse 27. God commanded angels and all creations to worship the Son because, first point, He is the anointed Son of God. But then if you are confronted with cults laying before you statements that Jesus is not God, this is one of the crystal clear passages in the Bible that talks about the divinity, the deity of Christ. Ito, napakaliwanag po mga kapatid. Napakaliwanag. Amen? Again, that's the first point. We will continue with the second point next Sunday. But before we do that, I would like to apply this principle to all of us. Brethren, having known the relationship and the unity of the Father and the Son, we are then fully assured of our redemption. Amen? Given that the act of God is the act of Son of the Son, we are fully secured of our redemption. No wonder as Christians, bilang mga mananampalataya, we have been called co-heirs with Christ. Let this truth sink in. Because of your relationship with God the Son, being the heir of God the Father, because of your relationship, God considered you as what? You are now co-heirs with Christ. Malungkot po kayo dahil wala po tayo sigurong mana dito sa lupa except sa Arenola at lahat ng konsumisyon. Pero kung ikaw ay mananampalataya, praise God, hindi mawawala ang mana na ibibigay sa akin ng Panginoon, lalong wala na ang kaligtasan, because of my identity with Christ. Because of my identity with Christ. I like what a commentator declared during this Holy Week. Sabi niya, the most important connection that a person can ever have in this life is his connection in the cross. His connection to the cross. Unless you are not connected in Christ, wala kang maasahan. Wala. Being believers, we are called to be co-heirs with Christ. Ano ibig sabihin niyan? We are partakers of divine glory. Ma-COVID ka man o hindi, kaibigan. Buti na lang, mayroong maasahang buhay kasama ng Diyos pagdating ng araw. We are called sons and daughters of God through adoption. And this relationship will not ever snatch from us. That's why Paul declared Romans 8 verse 1, with all humility and with all conviction, oh Lord, there is now no condemnation. No condemnation. Why? Because we are now co-heirs with Christ. No one will ever remove us from the Father's love in Christ. So kung naniniwala ka, kaibigan, kung tayo ay na kay Kristo, yan ang pagpapala na mayroon ka. Yan ang blessing na mayroon ka kay Kristo. Dahil sa pakikipag-isa kay Kristo. At the same time also, having known the deity of Christ, He is above the angels. As a people of God, we are called to worship Him. Amen. Angels worship Him. Also, believers must worship Him. We worship the Lord not to add up something to Him. We worship Him because He is divine. He is the only begotten Son of God. He deserves all glory, all praise. And with that, brethren, I would like to invite you to please stand. Let us sing to the Lord one song, the one that we sang. Let us declare that there's only one name above all names. Amen? Let us declare that there's only one Son of God who died for us, who loved us, and died for us. And this Son of God deserves the worship. Angels worship Him. Angels adore Him. Angels recognize that God indeed deserves glory and praise. And as a people of God, tayo ho ang nakaranas ng pinakamagandang pagpapala sa buong mundo, sa buong kasaysayan. And that is your salvation. And we celebrate Jesus because He is alive, and one day He will come, He will gather us as one family. And before that happens, let us already come to the Lord in worship. All our hearts, He is the Son of God.
The Son of God descends, takes on the nature of a servant.
to the Lord. Thank you, Lord Jesus. You are indeed the Son of God, and you have fulfilled, Lord God, our redemption. Lord, our faith is true. Our sins have been forgiven because you are alive. And you minister, Lord God, to your people by your Spirit and by your intercession, Lord. Thank you, Lord God, for the truth, Lord God, that the payment for our sins is perfect. It is unblemished, spotless, sufficient, Lord God, because you are divine, because you are the Son of God. And our relationship with the Son has been so secured, Lord God, that nothing and no one will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ. Such wondrous truth, Lord God, that it will impact us, Lord God, as we live our lives here on this earth. Such truth, Lord God, motivates us, Lord God, to live a holy life, to live a joyful life, and to live a life with hope and expectation, Lord God, that you will return and you will come as our reigning King. Thank you, Lord. And we, as we anticipate, Lord God, for the next Sunday, as we continue, Lord God, with the series, we continue to pray na mas lalo pong lumalim ay pong pagkilala, Panginoon, sa inyo bilang aming pong Panginoon at bilang anak ng Diyos. Thank you, Lord. Even as we give of our tithes and offering, we thank you that you are our gracious provider. May this offering, Lord God, be used, Lord God, for the furtherance of your kingdom here in this church. Be glorified, O Lord, and be magnified. This is humble plea. This is our humble plea. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Salamat po. God bless you po.